is on the way.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. He's a very present help in trouble. The psalmist said, I'll look to the hills, which cometh my help. He said, my help cometh from the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
I'm glad God gives us help. I ain't met too many didn't need it. Amen. Bless them, Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
at the beginning. Amen. Amen.
You don't know it.
I'm
going to do this one. It's Sharon's favorites. Some Morning Yonder.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know, this week I've been under the weather myself. I've not been feeling real good. I've just been real dizzy and happened to get up sick in the morning at my stomach and everything. So I just want y'all to remember me in prayer this morning.
We sure do that.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you some pastoral advice here for today, though. Bless them, Lord.
This is my favorite song.
Sometimes it's hard.
job, girls. Good job. Hallelujah. Thank you, Carolyn. Good job.
Alrighty.
Got that. Love you, sister. Thank y'all. Oops, got that thing. Oops, they're going. Let me get my eyeballs on here. I dropped this thing. I don't know if it's still recording or not. I think it is. Amen. Thank all of y'all for coming today. Thank you for all your prayers, all your comments. Truly have undergirded us. And I've been comforted as much as I've been grieved. Our goal is heaven, not the grave. We'd all like to bypass the grave, but if Lord tarries, we'll have to have a place to bury our dead. Abraham said he wanted to buy a place to bury his dead. And I will say this, you can go to heaven for free, but it'll cost you something to die down here, buddy. I made the funeral arrangements with my daughter yesterday, and you're talking about shucking corn. I'll just give you an update. I got the cheapest everything they had because she didn't have any insurance, and if she does, there's no way to ever know it. But it's almost $7,000, right? It's $7,000. Just to bury your loved one with any dignity at all. But you can go to heaven for free. It don't cost a penny. At the expense of Jesus, but whosoever's can come, they can lay hold on eternal life. Hey, they can get their name in the book of life. They can get their sins on the blood. They can get their condemnation turned to peace. They can get their down turned to joy. And I'll tell you what, they can look forward to graduating this life because I'm glad. The part be a Christ is far better. Down here, we're troubled on every side. It just don't never let up. It's hard to live around a devil walking around like a roaring lion singing him he may devour. Thank you for all the songs that you've sung. I haven't even read the cards. Thank you for the cards. Thank you for the phone calls. All the concern for us. We're just taking this just like you'll have to, one day at a time. I told Sister Carolyn I was going to give her some pastoral advice. She's run off back through there. I'll wait till she gets in here. But this virus that they're making into Godzilla, King Kong, and all of that. Look, we've already had the bird flu, the swine flu, and every kind of flu. This is just number 19 strain of the flu. Don't make it bigger than what it is. Don't cower down. When really it's not as bad as they're making it. Now I know a lot of people, they say, have succumbed to it. And I know the reason for that. This agenda being promoted in our country, this alternative lifestyle being promoted is abomination to the sight of God. And a lot of people, they end up with what's called AIDS. Which it compromises your immune system,
yeah.
And you'll be vulnerable if you're there in that state. It's pretty deadly. But if you've got any degree of health at all, you're fine. Don't let it cower you down. I was gonna tell Carolyn, which I will here in a minute. My which I think I've done had it about four times. My recommendation. Well, this is what I do. Whenever I've got the symptoms, I take me a can of chicken noodle soup, pour some water in it. Brother Ed reminded me the other day. Brother, I pour some water in it, put some pepper on it, heat it up. And listen, don't eat the soup. Just sip it like coffee. The first sip, you'll know Brother Eddie told you right. Because you won't be able to talk for like 5 minutes. It'll strip every deer out in your throat there. But that is one thing I do. Gargle with salt water. If you've even got strep throat, gargle with salt water, it'll kill it. But this other thing I just found out, and it works too. Guy I work with, he's a military man. And he said, Eddie, his name's Ray Johnson. He said, Eddie, when you get home tonight, he said, I want you to take two of them over 50 vitamin, you know, the A to zinc over 50. Well, I'm stubborn as a mule, sir, but I'm I was willing to listen, so I went home. He said, now trust me, don't take it before you go to bed. You won't be able to sleep. I said, Ray, I can sleep standing up talking to you. Sleep, I ain't got any problem with. But Sybil, I did take two of those over 50, ate a zinc. I woke up next morning wanting to get in the ring with Mike Tyson. I mean, I need to get on a regimen of that. My wife's been telling me, take your vitamin. And I'm stubborn anyway, but I'm starting to come around. But I took two of those, and I couldn't believe how much better I felt just from taking those over 50 A to Z vitamins. I recommend everybody get on a regimen, especially if you're like me, 66 years old, and maybe not be going too much further. But another thing I recommend, go by Walgreens and get you 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C. Now, where I work at, we work at a pharmaceutical packaging company. Every pill we've got's got vitamin C mixed in with it because it works with your body's own immune system to help your body when it comes to like sickness or disease or whatever. So get you 1,000 Sarah back there nodding her head. Get you 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C. Take you some vitamins. Take you some chicken noodle soup. Take you, if you have to, gargle some salt water. If that don't work, call me, and we'll go the gasoline route next. Amen. All right. Thank you again for being here today. What a comfort to see this many people to be here today. Thank you. And like I said, thank you for all you've done for us. Keep us in your prayers. They gave us 30 days to pay for that funeral. I said, thank you. I mean, I'm sitting there thinking, I thought they'd give some kind of time to pay. I said, y'all have any terms of, this funeral here? Said, yeah, we'll give you 30 days. I said, thank you, buddy. So y'all keep us in prayer, please. Start a GoFundMe, Brother Eddie, amen. All right, Job chapter 3. And I like to update Carolyn on the vitamins, so Jerry can tell her. It did help. I couldn't believe how much better I felt. Job, we're going to be preaching at Job chapter 3. I had several thoughts, but this really centered in. And as I was just getting my thoughts together, my wife kept, go fix me this, go fix me that. So this is kind of just a leftover of a bunch of thoughts the Lord put in my heart here. And let me see the time. Yeah, we're all right. I'm going to go ahead and read this whole chapter, Job chapter 3. My text verse will be verse 25, but we'll read it all. And Job's just been through a terrible ordeal. And it said, after this, opened Job his mouth and cursed his day. Now, Job's not having a good day, and you'll have them too. Everything's not always going to go like it's supposed to. You'll get out there in the car, tire blow out, or you'll have a wreck, or something will happen. But he's not having a good day. And Job spake and said, let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which it was said, there's a man child conceived. Let that day be darkness, let not God regard it from above, neither let the light shine upon it. Let darkness and the shadow of death stain it, let a cloud dwell upon it. Let the blackness of the day terrify it. As for that night, let darkness seize upon it. Let it not be joined unto the days of the year. Let it not come into the number of the months. Lo, let that night be solitary. Let no joyful voice come therein. Let them curse it that curse the day, who are ready to raise up their mourning. Let the stars of the twilight thereof be dark. Let it look for light, but have none. Neither let it see the dawning of the day. Before it shut not up the doors of my mother's womb, nor hid sorrow from mine eyes. Why died I not from the womb? He's wishing he'd never been born, is what we're reading here. Why did I not give up the ghost when I came out of the belly? Why did the knees prevent me? Oh, why the breast that I should suck? For now should I have lain still, been quiet. I should have slept. Then had I been at rest with kings and counselors of the earth, which built desolate places for themselves, or with princes that had gold or filled their houses with silver or as a hidden, untimely birth, it, I had not been as infants which never saw light. There the wicked cease from troubling. There the weary be at rest. There the prisoners rest together. They hear not the voice of the oppressor. The small and the great are there, and the servant is free from his master. Wherefore is light given to him that's in misery? Job's having a bad day. He's in misery. And life is bitter, and life unto the bitter in soul, which long for death, but it cometh not. I have seen people that just wanted to die. And I'm sure that Sarah has. They just want God to come and get them. We don't have any choice in life. But they long for death, but it cometh not. My pastor and I were going to a nursing home one time. As we opened the door, there was a lady with white hair on her head, and she was singing, "Father alone will know all about it." It just don't make no sense right now here, but it will later, like Carolyn and Sharon was singing, "We'll know all about it." But which rejoiceth, wait a minute, which long for death, and it, but it cometh not, and dig for it more than for hid treasure. They want it more than anything in life. Which rejoice exceedingly and are glad when they can find the grave. You wouldn't think that anyone would want to die, but if it gets bad enough, you'll wish for death. You'll wish for an opportunity to take a pill and end it. And they're doing that in the Netherlands right now. They're doing euthanasia. But why is light given to a man whose way is hid and whom God hath hedged in? For my sighing cometh before I eat, and my roarings are poured out like the waters. He's not enjoying his day. He's suffering miserably from the attack of the devil. And here's our text verse. For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came. And we'll go to God in prayer. I'm preaching today on life's terrible turns. And life does have a lot of terrible turns. It don't always go as planned. It don't always... it's not always understandable. It don't always make sense. Pray with me. Father, we thank You for this day You've given us, Lord. And Lord, we're glad that You're on the throne that's above every throne. We're glad, Lord, that Your will towards us is good. And Lord, You cause it to rain upon the just, upon the unjust. You're kind to the ungodly. You're kind to the evil. Lord, Your hand is outstretched all the day long. Would You help us, Lord, today? Lord, open our eyes and our hearts to be able to partake of Your Word, to be able to understand the great truths and the great treasures that it holds, I pray. And for whatever, Lord, is done here today, we'll give You the praise for it. In Jesus' blessed name, amen. Life's terrible turns. I wish life was simple. I wish it wasn't so complicated. You'd think with a smartphone you'd have it all figured out. I mean, we done got down where we can Google everything. But there's some things you can't Google. Some things that you have to go to God to get the answer.
Right.
And life's full of turns and trouble. Job said in Job 14:1, man is born of woman's a few days and full of trouble. I don't like trouble, but we have trouble down here. Amen. And Job, he had it good and then got it bad. And we'll preach along those lines for a few minutes and then we'll go home. I want to start out with Job's favor. In Job chapter 1, you see here that Job is a great man. Said there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. He was a good man. He had favor with God. God blessed him. You read on down through there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. And his substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 5,000 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses in a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses every one his day, and sent and called for their three sisters to eat and drink with them. You know, Job, he had favor, and his favor was with God. And you better have something to hold on to, because life ain't always going to be smooth. There's going to be a lot of curves, going to be a lot of potholes. And thank God that we do have a hand to hold on to. Even at 66 years old, I never felt more like a child than I have this week. But Job had found favor with God. And it goes on to talk about Job concerned about his family. Verse 5, "And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually." Let me stop right there just a second. The husband is the high priest of the home.
Yes.
To offer up priestly prayers. The wife is to back the husband up. And he's supposed to love her like Christ loved the church, which is unconditionally. No matter what, I love Dottie. She may hate me, but I love her. Amen. I don't know how you put up with somebody 45 years. It ain't something there. Amen. But anyway, the man is supposed to offer up prayers for the home. It's his job.
Right.
God put that upon him. That's why his shoulders are so wide. And Job done that. He prayed for his sons. And, he prayed because they might have messed up. And he interceded on their behalf. I thought it funny when I prayed after my daughter graduated this life, because she was in the list of people that I named one by one. And it was a little awkward there, Tammy, because I'm used to saying, "Help my daughter quit smoking. Help my daughter get her life back." She wanted to come to church. She wanted so bad. She called me. She said, "Dad, come get me. I want to go to church." I said, "I'll be there." And she called me back, sir. And she said, "I'm sorry, Dad. I'm just not up to it. I don't feel good." But she still wanted to come.
Right.
And I thank God for that.
Yeah.
She just wasn't able. Star, it's not as easy on her back there. But look, she brought James with her there.
Yeah.
And who's the young lady beside you there? Caleb, good to have you here, honey. But in life, you're going to have some help. And thank God, my wife has helped me a lot. Nothing else she got through my thick head, but nobody else could. But my daughter, a lot of fond memories of her, and I'll throw this one out, and I'll try to get back to preaching. But when she's young, Miranda, she drove like you. And I'm down in the basement of our home at 9,000 Edmond Road, and I'm lifting up prayers for my children. I'm going to say, "Lord, watch over my daughter." She had an IROC, what's that, Camaro 24 or something like that? A big, long, red Camaro. Is that what it is, though?
It was 828,
IROC Z. Yeah, she had one of them. Over hood, there's a motor forever in there. Anyway, I prayed for her that morning. I'm out mowing the yard. And I happen to look up, and I see this red Camaro come around this curve, and it's out of control, Mark. It's going like this. And I thought, "Who is that fool?" And it come off the road. There's a cornfield between that road and my house where I'm mowing the yard. And it went out in that cornfield, Star. And I jumped off the lawnmower and took off running. And it was my daughter in that car. And she's holding on the steering wheel looking straight ahead. And I stuck my head in the window. I said, "I just got through praying for you." She said, "Not now, Daddy. Not now." That's all we can do, Sybil, is pray. That's all we can do. They've got to learn like we did, the hard way on almost everything. Why we can't just listen, be done with it. But she was going way too fast on that curve right there between our house and the Humley store. It's a big, long curve. But it didn't hurt nothing but her pride. And somehow she survived. y'all can probably tell somebody to go along with it. That's the only one I want to mention right now. But I tried to be a good father like Job. I prayed for my children. I tried to get all the things they needed and get to them and make sure, you know, that they had everything that they needed, you know, to make it. And Job had found favor with God, and God had given him 10 children, and God was with Job, and here he is. He's the richest man, and man, he's got quite a reputation. Everything's looking good. And all of a sudden, Job, he's got a foe. And his foe here, he ain't really happy with you getting blessed. He ain't really happy with you having success. He's not really happy no matter what. He ain't happy if you're down. He ain't happy if you're up. He ain't happy about you at all. He hates you. And the Bible mentions him here. He shows up in verse 6. Said there came a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Whence comest thou?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, walking up and down in it." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job? There's none like him in the earth, a perfect." Now if God says something good about you, it's good. Amen. I mean, here God is not only speaking highly of Job, but he said he's a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and skilleth evil. Now listen to the answer of the devil, and you'll understand a little bit about the devil. He didn't accept that statement about Job. And Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doeth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made a hedge about him?" Now he's charging God foolishly here. "But hast thou not made a hedge about him?" And God has put a hedge around us. Thank God for it. And I thank God, I feel in my head tonight, I don't worry about nothing. But I say, "Lord, I'm going to sleep. You watch over us." But thou hast made a hedge about him, about his house, about all that he hath on every side. Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. Now God's never turned down any offer. And this was a good opportunity to show the devil just how small and minute he was. So the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thy hand." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Now Job had favor with God, but he had a foe that was trying to get between him and God. And the same thing exists between you and me. You can learn a lot from Job if you actually put forth any effort at all. Job was content. "Shall we not receive good from the hand of the Lord? Shall we not receive also evil? The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away." But we've got that mine mentality. The Bible said it's certain we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can take nothing out. Everything we've got in this life, we just borrow. I took the granddaughter last night, Miranda, to her mother's apartment. And I said, "Look, honey, anything you want, you can have." And she looked at things different than I did, didn't you? She went and looked at the jewelry, the necklaces, and she said, "I bought her this." I said, "Well, honey, anything you want." It's tough. You've got the aftermath of, really, my daughter made a lot of bad decisions. She went to the wrong doctors, if you want to know the truth about it. By the way, they're practicing physicians, and they practiced a little bit too much on her. And what they done couldn't be undone. And she ended up being schizophrenic, bipolar. And the sad thing about that was she couldn't trust no one. Steve Moore comes up here sometime. He sits right back behind Mark there. She doesn't have a better friend in this world than Steve Moore. He would take a bullet for her. She hated him because of this bipolar. And I couldn't convince her otherwise. I mean, she's in the hospital. He stayed more with her than I did. and bother things, and he would drop whatever he's doing and come to her need. He'd go get her anything. He'd do anything to woe for her. But in this schizophrenic stuff, you can't see things as they are. A good example would be if I went over there to bring her medicine, which I did a lot, or bring her cigarettes, which I did a lot. I didn't like it. But if I was to drop a penny, if she saw that penny, she said, "What'd you drop that penny for? It's got a bug in it. You're trying to catch me in something, ain't you?" She just couldn't trust you. And that's sad. You can't, you're helpless to do anything. I've done the best I could and failed miserably at that. And she called me so much on the phone, Tammy. After she passed away, I went to my phone. I just knew I'd have a message where, "Dad, I need you to pick this up. I need you to come by here. I need you to get me something to eat or whatever." I wanted to hear her voice, fellas. And my phone, after so long, it deletes the messages. And I didn't have a message. Kill me. I wanted to hear her voice. So I dialed her number, even though her hospital had her purse. I did get her phone, and I heard her voice, and just that little something meant a lot. Just being able to hear her voice. And, you know, Job, he had a foe. You've got a foe. And he's ruthless. He's, matter of fact, the Bible calls him an adversary, and he is an adversary. But Job here, this devil, he walks about like a roaring lion looking for an opportunity to strike. And the Bible tells us to put on the whole armor of God that we might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil in Ephesians chapter 6, about verse 11. But we don't do any of that. It's only when the devil has done his damage that we call and say, "I need prayer, I need help," or whatever. But I'll tell you right now, we've all got a foe, and we've all got favor with God, and don't get too far from God. But Job had a fear. He said, "That which I greatly fear has come upon me." Job had the kind of fear every parent has. That's why he prayed for these boys. And I'll tell you, this is my second time here. But there ain't nothing worse than getting one of them phone calls. The first phone call I had was with my youngest daughter. I was at Mom's on Sunday. And my daughter showed up, had the best time ever. We eat dinner together. Enjoyed each other's company probably better than any day ever. It was truly a day perfect. I'm so glad to see her, Miranda. I couldn't even put a price on it. And she showed up unexpected, and I'm looking in her beautiful eyes and not realizing, Patrick, that I'd never get to see her alive again. I didn't know, none of us. We see through a glass darkly. We see in part, we know in part, we just don't know everything. And she showed up, Jerry, we enjoyed that meal. She's talking about her boyfriend. Of course, being a father, you know, I'm picking a little. I said, "That don't wear anything." She said, "I really like it, Daddy." And I said, "Well, honey, I want you to know I love you. And if you love him, I'll love him. And you got my blessing." She got ready to leave. She said, "Dad, can I get some money from you for some gas?" Which is probably the reason she showed up, you know what I mean? My granddaughter, she said, "Pop, how much cash you got on me?" I grabbed my billfold, take off running. But, you know, I reached in there and I got some money out and I handed it to her, Miranda. And she said, "That's too much, Daddy." I said, "No, it's not, baby. You be careful. Daddy loves you." She was careful. And she went to our house and she got to see my wife, her mom. And it was the best day ever for her and for me. But on the way back into town, she had a wreck. And I had done eat, and I done laid down on the couch, and I'm having one of them Baptist naps, Jerry. And I'm enjoying the company of being in my mother's house. You know, I'm not young no more. I'm 30-some years old. But the phone rang, and my mom answered it. And when she answered it, she said, "It's for you." And I looked at her, and I knew it wasn't a good one.
Well, she was looking at me, and it was the hospital. And they said, you need to get out here. Your daughter's been in a car wreck. And to make a long story short, no parent wants that phone call. No one wants that. Well, Thursday night this week, it was deja vu again. I'm driving. I just got off of work. I get off work at 11:45. I'm not driving like Miranda. I'm tired. I'm taking these. I'm going slow. And the phone rings. And it's 12:03. And I answer the phone. And the man on the phone said, is this Eddie Wade? I said, yes, sir. He said, I'm Dr. Cooper from the TJ Community Hospital. He said, I have your daughter out here, Mr. Wade. And he said, she's died. There ain't nothing I can do about it, but I will tell you this. That's the phone call no parent wants. He said, I've done CPR on her, and I've brought her back, but she's not stable. And he told me he broke a lot of ribs getting her heart back pumping. Then I don't want to be graphic here or nothing, but you know, when he told me that, I thought, boy, this is not going to be good. He said she's going to have to be on dialysis for a while. I was okay with that. And he said, if she gets stable, I'm going to transfer her to Louisville Hospital. And I said, please keep me informed. I drove on home because I didn't think nothing I could do. So I got up early the next morning, which is Friday morning, the 24th. Really, he called me on the 24th, just 3 minutes into it. And early that morning, prayed a while. And I went to check my phone, and I kind of trembled to pick the thing up. Sure enough, there it is there. And he said, Eddie, we transferred your daughter to the medical center in Bowling Green, which I got dressed and drove down there. I did get to see my daughter one more time. She was in the ICU in room 14, and they were literally trying to save her life. They had her feet elevated, trying to keep blood to her brain to keep her from having a stroke. They were putting blood in through her neck. I didn't like what I seen, but as a father, I could walk away. And I asked them if they finally got what they was doing stable. I said, can I please come in and have a word of prayer with my daughter? And they said, yeah, come on in. And I come in, and Patrick, I couldn't get a word out. All I could do was weep. And they come around, they was hugging on me and trying to comfort me. And I finally got up, Lord, your will be done here. I couldn't pray for nothing. I was just too far down, too grieved. But I've seen a lot of things die. I'm sure maybe Sarah has too. And it's not a pretty sight. I could tell my daughter was dying. Mm-hmm. I could see she was going in convulsions and just giving up on. The force of life is strong. But she was letting go, and I knew she was letting go. And I said, I'm going to go home. Y'all call me, and they did call me, and they officially notified me that my daughter had passed away. But that was Job's fear about his children.
Yeah.
He loved those children. Every parent loves their children. Then I asked my children, I said, don't ask me to bury you. Let bury me. They wanted to do that. I wanted to do that, but life's not always like that. Job's fear was that he would be notified of, like what I got notified of Friday morning early. And every one of us has some kind of fear. That's probably the worst fear of all. But it goes on to talk about there was a day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And it sounds fairly normal, considering what we've read about him so far. And I'm going to skip out about all the oxen, the camels, and all of that. In verse 18, the list of these calamities that's coming upon Job, and he's sitting there taking them like one by one. It said, while he was yet speaking, there came also another, verse 18, and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, and behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped. and said, naked came I of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return hither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all of this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. It'd be good if we had a say, but we don't. Life's terrible turns sometimes will bring you to your knees. It'll cause you to cast your care upon the one that cares for you. It'll cause you to remember He's touched by the feelings of our infirmities, and you'll start getting things in perspective of where they should have been all along. And if you drift too far from God, life is going to take its toll on you.
Amen. That's right.
Job had favor with God. Job had a foe. Job had a fear. Job had friends. And you find these friends, they mean well. We've all got friends, and they all mean well. But in circumstances like Job's, they couldn't understand. And the Bible mentions them here in Job chapter 2, verse 11. Now when Job's three friends heard of all of this evil that was come upon him, they came down every one from his own place. They must have had Facebook back then. I don't know, somehow they found out about it, and they show up, and it gives their names here, Eliphaz, Telamite, Bildad, Shulamite, and Zophar, the Naamanite. I can't say some of these words. For they had made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him. And when they lifted up their eyes afar off and knew him not, they lifted up their voice and wept. They rent every one his mantle and sprinkled dust upon their heads toward heaven. So they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and 7 nights, and none spake a word unto him, for they saw that his grief was very great. Job had feared this, and now it showed up. And your life will be like his. You'll have curves, you'll have potholes, you'll have all kind of wrecks in life. You'll wonder why. My pastor said he was thankful that Jesus asked, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Of course, he's quoting the prophetic statement of Psalms 22 when he made that statement, which identified him as being their Messiah when he did say that. But he said it's okay to question God. It's okay to ask, why am I struggling? Why am I failing? Why am I hurting? Why can't I get ahead? It's okay. I'll tell you right now, it's when you need friends, when you're struggling, when you're down and out. Amen. Job's friends, they tried their best to comfort him, but they were miserable comforters, Job said in Job 16, verse 2. But let me say this, there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And he's a friend of sinners, and he loveth at all times, and he'll be there when everyone else has left you. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You can count on this one friend, amen. Job's friends, they've done their best. They did. And life is no different for you and me as it was for Job. Thank God for God, amen. I mean, I don't know about you, but when I get in trouble, I want somewhere to run to. I want someone that will listen, amen. Amen. You know, now they pay people to listen. I mean, big money. All they want you to do is listen. They want you to agree with them, argue with them, none, just listen. I could probably do that. Maybe, I don't know. I'd have to work at it. But I'm glad that God will listen. I'm glad we can pull out our complaint. I'm glad we can pray. He will hear. And he will answer, amen. But not only did Job have favor with God, not only did Job have a foe between him and God, not only did Job have a fear that became a reality, he had friends, but praise God, and I'm glad this in here, he had a future too, amen. And in Job chapter 42, I'm leaving a lot of this out for sake of time, but in Job chapter 42, you can see about Job's future here. And verse 12, it's the very last chapter of Job, says, so the Lord blessed the latter end of Job
more than the beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, and 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 she asses, and he had also 7 sons and 3 daughters, Brother Head. And he called the name of the first Jemini, or Jemi, and the name of the second Kizai, and the name of the third, Lordy, Carapoke. In all the land there were no women found so fair as the daughter of Job. Their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. After this, Job lived 140 years and saw his sons and his sons' sons, even 4 generations. So Job died being old and full of days. Job had a future.
Yes, he did.
One reason he did, Brother Ed, is he made preparations.
That's right.
For the day that we all have to deal with. Those terrible days. Those times when everybody wants to give up. Times when everybody wants to quit. Listen, there's no discharge from this war. I might call you up and say, I need prayer. You might call me up and say, say a prayer for me. But the Lord will get us there. We just got to hold on. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. It's been better and better. It's been hard and not so hard. I felt your prayers not only this week, but I thank you for them, and please keep them up. I know I'd hate to say that I don't need them, and I hope you never believe I don't, but I need the prayers of those I love. Amen.
Amen.
Job had a future, and Job's future was secure. The Bible says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints, in Psalms 116, verse number 15. And that's kind of like unscriptural, because we can't die. Jesus told Martha, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die, believest thou this. In John chapter 11, and also John chapter 10, verse 28, he said, I give unto them eternal life. And I don't have to worry about dying, and you don't need to neither. But I want you to know that he had a future, amen. To get to heaven from here, Brother James, we got to die to the world. Now, I've got eternal life. This body ain't eternal. Down here, I ain't got no continuing sin. But right now, I'm living pretty good right here. That may change tomorrow. But right now, this is my living quarters. This is my earthly tabernacle, my tent that I've sewed it up. I ain't never broke a bone, but if I did, I'd have to reset it. But I'm living in this temporary tent. So in some sense, that verse is true. But in other sense, that verse is not true, because I have eternal life. But precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Amen. We can't understand it, but He does. He knows there's going to be a day that He's going to have to send forth the escort from heaven. I let Brother Ed borrow a movie. And the name of that movie is called The End of the Spear.
Yeah.
And these men had a burden for these natives, and they were killing one another so much they didn't have long, they wasn't going to make it. Anybody wants to watch that movie, I've got it. You're more than welcome to watch it. But at the very end of that movie, it shows something that's worth watching the whole movie for.
Yeah.
I told him, I said, you're going to love the ending of it. But these natives, one thing that got through to them, and they were tough cookies, buddy. I mean, they killed one another like crazy. But at the very end, they killed these missionaries that had put their lives in jeopardy to get the gospel to them. And you'd think they failed, Brother Jerry. But when they killed these men, their wives showed up, and that scared them to death. And these women finished the work. And they moved in with these natives. But one of them big old boys, Miranda, he sided with these women. They was giving him down the road. He turned around and he said, you saw what I saw. And what he saw was good. At the end of that movie, it shows these angels coming down and getting these men, these missionaries, getting their souls and taking them up, Brother James. They seen them going up. He said, you saw what I saw. Thank God that He has got a means to get us home. He told Peter, he said, Peter, when you was young,
You girded yourself, you went whatsoever thou wouldest, but when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee. Well, I can't get myself to heaven. You remember Luke 16, the rich man died and buried, said Lazarus died, and he was carried by the angels. We got an escort. It's short one of these days, Donnie, and say, time to go home.
Amen.
You might not get a chance to say, I'm gone, Brother Eddie, but I'll tell you right now, if it's me, I'll do my best, brother, but I'm leaving out here one of these days. Amen.
Amen.
Now, I can't sing a lick, but listen to this. I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry over the future, for I know what Jesus said. And today I walk beside Him, for He knows what is ahead. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand. I can't sing a lick, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand.
Amen.
I'm glad, praise God, we've got a future. That's why I said I don't know, and I don't worry over my future, but I've got one, and it's secure. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And you know what? I'll stop right there. I just want to say one more thing. I said it in the beginning, I want to say it one more time. It'll cost you something to die down here, so get ready for it. But I'll promise you this, you can go to heaven for free. The Bible said today, if you hear His voice, that's how free it is.
Amen.
What do you mean, hear His voice? Well, He said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and I'll give you rest on your souls. My burden's light. My yoke's easy. My burden's light. His invitation is one to come. Not only is His invitation one to come, but He's bidding you to come. I was in a service one time, and a girl had jumped up and run up at the altar, and her boyfriend's sitting right beside her, Patrick. You know the first thing she said? She said, couldn't you hear my heart beating like a jungle drum? And Jordan said, no, I didn't hear nothing. She said, well, I did. And that's God's bidding people to come. And God is greater than our heart. And I had Him to do my heart like that. If He's doing your heart like that, heaven is free.
Amen.
It's free to the whosoever, wheresoever, whensoever. It's free right now. But I will promise you this. If death shuts upon your sins, then for eternity, you'll pay for them in a place called hell.
Yeah.
That's not the will of God. God's not willing that any perish. He wants all to come to heaven and live with Him, all expense paid. I mean, the joys of the Lord are yours. But you got to get to Jesus before death gets to you.
Mm-hmm.
Because if death gets to you before you get to Jesus, then you'll die unsaved, and you'll die in your sins, and you'll hear the saddest words ever spoken from anyone. Just like Jesus looked upon Jerusalem and said, how long you to come to me, and you would not. He said, therefore your house is left unto you desolate. Only regret I got coming, I wished I'd got there quicker.
Amen.
I went 34 years like a fool before I gave my heart to Jesus. I wish I could go through it again. Amen. But listen, heaven is, it's free. But it'll cost you something to die down here. It'll cost you at the funeral home. But if you die lost, it'll cost you everything. It'll cost you your soul. The Bible talks about what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lost his soul. That's not much of a profit. That's a terrible loss. I'm glad, praise God, Jesus said, I've come to give you life. And I do have life. But He said not only to give you life, but that you may have it and have it more abundantly. Eternal life is in Jesus. Abundant life is in Jesus. And without Him, you're just going through the motions of life. Amen. Lord, we thank you, Father, for the privilege today, Lord, to brag on you. And Lord, I'm glad you are a very present help in time of trouble. I'm glad you are a refuge and strength. I'm glad, Lord, you said you'd never leave us nor forsake us. You'd come to us any hour of the day about anything, Lord, pertaining to this life. Thank you for all you've done for me this week. Lord, I've done all I need to do right here, right now, and I'm going to try to shut up. But Lord, if there's somebody here that needs to come, would you please bid them to come, Lord? It would sure be a blessing, Lord, to see somebody, Lord, give their heart to Jesus. Amen. Like this, everybody stand and get Brother Jerry, please. Maybe Sister Sharon, a verse of invitation to him. Thank you for coming. We're going to have a graveside service at the Glasgow Municipal Cemetery at 3 o'clock. We're still needing two pallbearers, but I've got a feeling it's going to be plenty of bear to choose from. I've got old Donnie. He's done been solicited. I'll be one if I have to. And Brother Steve's going to be there. And my son's going to be a pallbearer. He's bigger than me. Surely God, he can pack a coffin. But anyway, we just want to bury our dead. We want to put this behind us. But it'll be at 3 o'clock if you want to come by. It's open to the public. Number 2.